Hi, this is Martin from WellsTech. We've got a special show for you today, a special edition. Google Summit's going on in Milwaukee this week, sponsored by Wisconsin Lutheran College. Sally was there. I joined her with some very special guests. Enjoy.
This is WellsTech, a podcast on the Streams Media Network, sponsored by Wells, Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod. Your show hosts are Martin Spriggs and Sally Draper. Join the conversation at wellstech.wells.net.
Welcome back, everybody, to the WellsTech podcast. As you can see, we've got a little bit different format. First of all, Sally and I are sitting right next to each other, which doesn't happen all that often.
Really.
We're at Discovery World in Wisconsin, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, on the lakefront, and perhaps more importantly than the venue, or perhaps more importantly than the location, is the venue, and that's the reason you, Sally, are here. That's Google Summit, right?
That's right. I'm taking a week-long class at Wisconsin Lutheran College, and excited to be learning, to be Googling out, as my kids said, so learning all kinds of things, A to Z, about Google, and hearing some great presenters in the process.
Okay, so you've got couple days under your belt now. Mm-hmm. What's been the highlight so far?
Oh, for me, wow. Just the collaboration, the connection with lots of great minds.
Okay.
People are doing some really fantastic things in education with Google, mm-hmm. and just getting to see and absorb a lot of that, making Twitter connections and all kinds of cool stuff like that.
Okay.
Fun stuff.
I believe this is the second Google Summit, right?
Mm-hmm.
First
year,
last year. And you may notice a strange face next to us. He is actually a veteran now of Google Summit, second time around for Anthony Gonzalez. Introduce yourself, Anthony. Why are you here? And what struck you in this first couple days?
Absolutely. My name is Anthony Gonzalez. I'm a high school teacher at Nazareth Academy out of LaGrange Park, Illinois, which is in the western suburbs. I'm actually coming back here for my second time. Last year I came with no experience, went through the summit, enjoyed it so much, networked a little bit, and was invited back this year to show how I implemented and integrated Google technology into my classroom a year after, which was a great honor and an awesome opportunity to really show other people what is possible with just a little bit of training, which was fun.
Sure. And what do you do down there? What do you teach?
I teach contemporary world issues, economics, and U.S. history, which is in our social studies department, and then coach cross country and softball, as well as moderate a young entrepreneurs club and two retreats a year.
Okay, very good. So first couple days, anything different from last year?
I can relax, which is the nicest thing. Last year, everything was brand new to me. I admitted to the fellow Googlers when I was up there presenting that last year I came with zero experience. I'd never experienced a Google Doc, never knew how to use my Gmail even, and so everything was very exhausting. But a great support group around us allowed me the opportunity to really enhance my feel and my comfortability with the technology, and then as the week went on, I just got excited. So this year I get to be excited to network and to help other people and extend my knowledge into a little bit more higher level thinking,
sure.
which is a lot of fun.
And this year you were actually a presenter.
Correct.
What was the topic of that?
Correct. I was what they called a showcase, and so I showed what I have. I showed one class's experience with Google. I run my economics class entirely through Google this year. We are not a one-to-one school, but I do everything I possibly can to make sure that kids have the tools to do all the work from home, as well as then any computer lab opportunity we have, I just steal and take as much of it as possible.
Right. So fair use.
Yes.
Yes. So I'm guessing, you know, it's definitely changed the way you teach. There's different prep that you do now and that kind of thing. And also changed the way students are learning fundamentally. So tell us a little bit about the changes you're seeing.
It's so exciting to push kids outside of their comfort zone. And I teach a very high-level student who like the controllables. They like to know exactly what they need to do to get an A. And what Google has allowed me to do is push them from that comfort zone and worry less about the grades, worry more about the productivity and the tools necessary to be someone who can function through life, use technology, and apply themselves creatively into different scenarios. So what it's allowed me to do is enhance the educational experience. We don't really use textbooks anymore. We use Google, and I share documents, and we have points of conversation that we bring up. And the best thing is that students are starting to discover new parts of the curriculum that I didn't even see. And so they're developing my curriculum as we go, and we get to try new things on the fly that are student,
sure.
with student initiative.
So is it possible to implement something like this just with a summer ahead of you? So if somebody's coming in here fresh saying, I don't know if I'm ready for this or not, but I've got a summer ahead of me. Can they get ready for the school year and do something useful?
I had zero experience. I spent my first semester of school getting comfortable on what the school would allow me to do with our, you always have issues with internet speed. You
yeah.
always have issues with storage. You always have issues with students getting accounts. So I spent my first semester prepping myself for that. I spent my second semester implementing it fully. At the end of the year, I give all my students an evaluation of the class, and the one thing they said was most practical and the best part of the class was that they learned tools to succeed in college. And we are a college prep school, so that's big for me,
uh-huh.
and no grievances whatsoever about Google Sites. I did have one young lady who was very mad we don't make posters anymore. Everything is public and produced online. But when she saw what she could do with Google Sites, her face lit up, and she loved it way more, and she finally admitted that it was the way to go. So it was a good thing.
So what are your students going to have new next year? Are you making big plans for next year?
I think they're a little scared. my students are always kind of scared. I always say when you give me an entire summer to figure out my curriculum and work up new ideas, it should be a very scary thing. The more I've done, the more students have put forth. And so next year is the first year where I'm going completely textbookless. My book is going to be a PDF dictionary online, no longer going to use it in class. I'm hoping to link together through Google Hangouts, actually, a couple different tours of the Fed building with my economics class, as well as a couple different experiences with people in business fields to see what they do on a daily basis so we can
wow.
do some career discovery with that. Our sites project is fantastic. We have a budgeting project that I'm looking to fix up a little more and add a little bit more to. I haven't quite figured out how to do that yet, but my goal would be to make sure I never collect anything in paper anymore. I'm not very good at making sure I have everything with me all the time. So Google keeps me as organized as I need to be, which is a great, great thing for a teacher on the go.
So your students, you can have some of the same students year over year. So they've kind of been introduced to the concept, or do you got some new ones that you really have to kind of ramp up?
It's a little bit of both. I have a couple junior classes, but mostly seniors, and they have the opportunity to have me twice when they're seniors.
Uh-huh.
The contemporary issues class is a full-year mandatory course. My economics class is an elective, and it's only for a semester.
Okay.
So many kids will have me twice, unless they're in an honors curriculum, so they can get used to me a little bit, but
yep.
I do teach my department to implement some of the same things I do.
I was going to ask, are you the only one in your institution doing this thing, or do you have other people doing the same thing?
Putting my energy forward first probably came out as a shock to my school, and it wasn't as well received as I thought it would be.
Okay.
So what I've spent my time doing over the last year, I think my biggest change in teaching this year is that instead of teaching my students how to use the technologies, which was very easy, I now get to flip over to the harder part of teaching, and that's teaching teachers how to use the different technologies
right.
and showing them the upside to that. Now, my department is very open to it and has grabbed onto it, and most of them are at home right now while I am tweeting out new things that they can try or revamping websites we've put together. They're trying it out as well, and we've traveled here. Last year I came alone. This year I came with four other individuals from four different departments who can hopefully go back and spread out that fever that I came back with last year. So the energy, and you can talk to anybody here, the energy is what's the greatest part. The enthusiasm and being in a room with people who all care about education,
sure.
technology, and the combination of them both.
Sure. Awesome. Great insights. Anthony, thanks for taking the time.
Not a problem.
You've got other things to do, but appreciate you spending a little time with us.
Thanks for having me on.
Okay. Why don't we, Joe, you want to join us? Because Anthony gave us a nice introduction to teaching teachers, and Joe Curia works at Luther Preparatory School in Watertown, Wisconsin, where a lot of our Senate's teachers get their start, so to speak. Where are you here?
I guess I'm here to see the administrative side of it. Anthony was just talking about trying to introduce it, trying to fight through some of those battles, and I'm looking at it from that administrator side. What does it take for me to allow the teachers to implement Chromebooks, to implement Google Apps? And we are embracing the Google Apps for email, so I'm also investigating that.
You're a one-man show there, so if it comes to technology, you're the go-to person. You liking what you're seeing with the administrative interface and ease of use from your perspective?
I think so. I've found that most things are pretty intuitive, at least from an administrative side, to go and find some settings. Some of them, you'll see with Google, they like to try a lot of things. They like to try a lot of new things, and then some things will go away.
Right.
So as I was migrating to the email, they had a help page that told me you can either do it the legacy way or the new way. And then parts of the new way didn't quite work, so then you go back to the legacy way, and then you have to think, okay, 6 months from now, am I going to have to do all this again? But for the most part, it was pretty intuitive, and also looking at the Chromebooks, looking at the other applications that they've been presenting from an administrator standpoint, I think it is pretty simple to administrate.
Sure.
Awesome. Well, I guess I want to ask everybody what kind of takeaway you have. You know, if you were to say one thing that was kind of a wow moment, can you think of something that excited you from what you've seen so far?
I think overall, just the fact that, you know, a Chromebook really is just a browser. You're just carrying around. It's not a computer. It's a browser. You know, the technology that supports that browser is there, but there's nothing else there. It's just a browser. And yet the vast amount of things that are available now with HTML5 and other technologies that you can run on a browser to be able to go to Pixlr.com and edit pictures to the degree where you can actually do layering and masking and
right.
all of it on a browser. And so to me, that was, I guess, a kind of a wow moment, because that makes the Chromebook so much more useful than when you just hear, oh, all they can do is go on the internet. You think, okay, I can check my email. I can, you know, I can surf the web. I can look at some YouTube videos. But it's a whole lot more
sure,
than that.
Sure. You mentioned infrastructure. That's always a concern when you roll something out like this. Is that a concern for you, you know, on a campus like yours? You've got, you know, many classrooms, a number of different floors, a number of different buildings. It's got to be pretty rock solid for this to work, right?
I think one advantage that LPS has right now is we have not embraced Wi-Fi.
Okay.
yeah. We have not rolled out Wi-Fi.
Early adoption.
In a couple
yeah,
of
comes with some
spots.
Yeah, absolutely.
There is, you know, AC is coming out for a Wi-Fi standard that's going to increase the bandwidth and the density of Wi-Fi. And that's one thing that I'm experiencing here. And I, you know, I think when you get a bunch of tech people together, they have all their Chromebooks. We have 90 people with Chromebooks. Probably all of them have a smartphone that's also on that same Wi-Fi. So we're sitting in an amphitheater, and the presenter who's online trying to get his presentation is shut off in the middle of it.
Right.
So it does really, when you have that many people coming together, it emphasizes that need for better density in wireless. And two, I would guess even if you could support all 90 of them on the Wi-Fi, your broadband behind that has to also be able to accommodate.
Yeah. Even Apple, Microsoft, Google, when they do keynotes and stuff, they say, you know, everybody out there, shut your stuff off so we can actually show you some cool stuff. So,
right.
Good. Joe, thanks for taking the time. Blessings on the rest of your week here and as you kind of do some prep for next year with Google Apps. Awesome.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, we have other people in the room with us as well, Martin. There were several different Wells connections that we made here and Wells Tech connections.
Yep.
For instance, Justin Liefert? Liefert.
Liefert.
Three
yes.
times I tried. Okay. And Justin, we're happy to welcome you as well. Thanks for taking the time to talk to us.
No problem.
Maybe take a moment and tell us a little bit about where you teach.
I just started teaching. I graduated Martin Luther College in 2002, and I got assigned to Winnebago Lutheran Academy, where I teach junior English, and I'm starting to take over some of the technology duties, so that's why I got nominated to come and see what's going on here.
Okay.
Yeah, our good friend Dave Schrader is up there now, and he is not an enemy of technology.
No, he's not.
Either, so that's a very good thing. So. What are you noticing? Let's just talk about WLA as a typical Area Lutheran High School. What are some of the challenges in technology right now that you're trying to solve?
Well, right now we're just trying to solve, like Joe mentioned, infrastructure. We also are just starting to implement wireless. I just spent the last 2 weeks pulling cable for it, so we're moving forward. But that's been our challenge, is just building the infrastructure. Especially like many Area Lutheran high schools or even Lutheran elementary schools, a low budget and not enough time in the day, and just we have to work around it.
Yeah.
And I think Google Apps, just seeing how easy it is to set up and manage, is a great tool for that. Mm-hmm. And once I get the infrastructure built, we can move on and we can start to build on that foundation.
Right.
Very good. Okay, so any wow moments for you this week so far?
I think the biggest wow moment was just seeing, like, Anthony's presentation.
or some of the other presentations where, like Rachel, who I'm sure you'll see in a minute, where you see what schools have done with it, the intense collaboration that teachers can build among students, and even among other teachers, and how that can help promote learning. And that may not be the best style for every teacher or even every student, but it's a style that appeals to many students, and to see the amount of creativity and effort that students start to put in, it makes me excited to put it into my own classroom and to start using it with my students at WLA.
Excellent. See, we'll have to circle back and
yeah,
hear more
so
about
it. Definitely seems to me like Google is all in on in education.
Mm-hmm.
Just with the stuff that I see flowing through Google Plus and some of the discussions that are going on, the summits that they do, the certifications that they do, I think they recognize that there is a gap here that they're trying to fill. This is probably a gap that Apple used to fill, and I guess I'm seeing less of that, probably more because of the economics of getting Google Apps into into a school. And then if those are going to Chromebooks, that's obviously a different economic strata than, mm-hmm. let's say, getting iPads or MacBook Airs or whatever in the classroom. So what's the device situation like? Are you looking at a one-to-one computing environment? Are kids bringing their devices to school?
We haven't decided officially yet. I believe this summer we're going to try to get a couple carts of Chromebooks for students and teachers to try out. We'll also have it on a classroom basis, a bring-your-own-device program, where students, maybe we can't get a hold of the Chromebooks.
Okay.
But they could bring in an iPad or their own computer for them
okay.
to use.
Okay. Lots of opportunity there, I think, for you guys in the stage that you're in. So,
yep.
Awesome. Thank you for taking the time with
no
us.
Problem.
Appreciate
Thanks
it.
Thanks for
and,
having
and,
me.
And blessings on the rest of your week. And hopefully you're taking some good stuff back with you.
Well, I'm excited.
All right.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Our thanks to Justin, as well as Joe and Anthony, for taking the time at Google Summit to share their thoughts and some of their plans and how they're going to use Google Apps and Chromebooks in their situations. We're not done, although we're going to split up our conversations at Google Summit over a couple of episodes. So you'll have to wait till next week when we air our episode 295 to hear some more interviews, and then Sally and I do a little bit of a wrap-up of her impressions of Google Summit and some video and photos that Sally has taken through the course of the week. So you'll want to come back next week. Thanks for joining us this week.